Well, welcome back to our next edition of the Mike Kara radio program, What's Up America? As always, proudly broadcasting from Ocoee, Florida, USA, planet Earth. And my next guest is Chef Sean Boucher, who is a food service author, consultant, and podcast host. And Chef Sean is an expert in food service design, implementation, and ongoing restaurant operations. And as we mentioned, that Chef Sean has a podcast himself called the Business Chef Podcast and has written several cookbooks, including the First Timers Cookbook and the First Timers Bake Book. And Chef Sean has also recently released a new management book called Food People Management. And Chef Sean has worked in almost every segment of the food service industry and holds business degrees and certificates in culinary arts, business, hospitality, and tourism management, accounting, and professional sales, and is a certified executive chef, certified culinary educator, certified culinary professional, certified dietary manager, and certified food protection professional. And Chef Sean, it's such a pleasure and honor that you could bestow all this food wisdom to us. We really do appreciate your time. And first of all, let's start at the beginning here. And why don't you tell us, or as long or as short as you want, a little bit about your background and how you got into all that I just mentioned?
Wow, that's quite the introduction. I definitely got into this business by accident. When I was in my teenage years, I loved creating. I loved drawing. I loved sculpting. I loved any kind of art form to where I could create something. And I just happened to be interested in doing that for a career. But then I had kind of taken all the art classes I could in my high school. My guidance counselor at the time said, well, why don't you go take some classes up at this trade college. This trade college, you know, will pay for it. You'll get high school credit, college credit. And I thought, great. He said, look through this catalog, pick a class, and go after it. So I went in there. I looked at a class that said culinary arts, and I thought, this is going to be awesome. I'm going to be doing watermelon carvings and ice sculptures. And the reality, obviously, was that I was going to be cooking for people. But this was, you know, pre-Food Network popularity, and so I didn't know a lot about the culinary arts. I thought it was an art class. I ended up getting into it, realizing what it was. I actually stuck with it for a number of years and was able to really work my way up through the chain and kind of move into, you know, what I'm doing now as far as consulting and helping people really improve their food operations.
So that is a big part of what you do, Sean, is a consultant and actually helping people, you know, like you said, prepare their food operations. Can you tell us a little more what's involved in that then?
Absolutely. So a lot of what I do is in healthcare. And healthcare, as we know, has a stereotype. It has a perception among people that it is out of a can, mushy, you know, not very appealing. And so my goal is to really bring hospitality to healthcare. I really, really want to change the perception out there that people have had for so many years. Now, a lot of chefs are really doing that. One of the ways that I do that, I am the culinary director for a company called DMNA, Don Miller and Associates. They're a consulting firm. We've been around for 30 plus years. And we go in and we do a lot of room service. So instead of patients getting whatever we as the hospital want them to get, whenever we want them to get it, they're able to pick up the phone, call down, and get something, as long as it's within their dietary restrictions, get something within about 45 minutes or less. So very, very similar to a traditional hotel restaurant room service, we do a lot of that for healthcare. On the other side of things, in my personal consulting, I do a lot of creation of concepts. So somebody comes to me and says, I'd like to do a chicken concept. I actually create that for them with their input, totally collaboratively, but I create recipes for them. We do lots of different tastings. I source products. We set up all the costing materials. materials, we set up scheduling, we do equipment design and layout so that they get the most bang for their buck when it comes to investing that initial capital. And then I help them open it. I literally hold their hands through the whole process, me and my team, that allows them to have a successful food service concept from the get-go.
Wow. So now you were mentioning with the hospitals, you know, you try to do, like you said, a personal room, you know, service style. But like, you know, like in the hospital cafeterias, is that something that you work with, too, to try to find those better dishes, or how does that work?
Absolutely. You know, it's hard to separate out a lot of times what we're feeding the patients from what we're feeding the employees and the visitors and the staff. So we really try to integrate all those pieces together and improve the quality across the board. And a lot of that comes from going more from a traditional kind of cafeteria style, everything in steam pans, to cooking more a la minute and cooking smaller batches more often. And that's definitely the principles that we try to take into that retail space as well.
Okay, Chef Sean, so now we're talking about these cookbooks that you've written. So, I mean, when you go about writing a cookbook, how does one do it? Is it a matter of just taking recipes that you have? Is there a lot of research that goes into it?
I would say absolutely, but my story is a little bit different. So the cookbooks that I've written thus far, the First Timer's Cookbook and the First Timer's Bakebook, were basically born out of necessity. I had a good friend of mine come to me and say, you know, teach me how to cook. I want to learn how to cook. Teach me how to cook. And I thought, well, how do I distill my years of experience and knowledge into just kind of very simplistic kind of how to versus what to? You know, most cookbooks have recipes, so they're teaching you what to cook. They're not necessarily teaching you how to cook. So I really wanted to create something that was how-to, because really there wasn't much on the market. There were these collection of recipes or this 900-page, you know, professional chef volume that you were, as a home cook, never going to use in that way. You were going to, you know, look for through half a dozen things, and the rest of that big tome would kind of be put on the shelf for later. So I wanted to create basic principles and basic, very concise things that people could learn how to cook and then use those books in conjunction with any of their other cookbooks. So those cookbooks are a little bit different. When it comes to the management book was also more or less by happenstance. You know, for most of my employees, a lot of what we do is not just changing the food or updating the food or helping them make better food, but it's actual cultural transformation. It's helping the staff to change their mindset when it comes to preparing food and serving food. And that takes a lot more effort, because those things are not things you can just change overnight or very quickly by sourcing a different product or whatnot. So I noticed that a lot of what I was telling my guests and a lot of what I was showing to my clients is very similar, that regardless of whether I was working in a hospital or I was working in a grocery store, or I was working in a restaurant, or I was creating new concepts, these principles of success were the same. And so I created this management formula for people who were managing food service: standards plus accountability times consistency equals success. And from that formula, I was able to write that book, Food People Management, to try to help other people out there in the food service industry kind of manage to the unique challenges that we have.
Okay, Chef Sean, you know what? That sounds great. What we are going to do is we are going to take a quick break, and we will be back for our next segment of this edition of our program today. My guest today is Chef Sean Boucher, who is an executive chef. He has a podcast. He's got cookbooks. Basically, he knows every facet of the food service industry. He's also a food consultant, restaurant consultant. And we're so blessed and honored to have Chef Sean here. Again, my guest, Chef Sean Boucher. You are listening to the Mike Kira radio program, What's Up America? As always, proudly broadcasting from Ocoee, Florida, USA, planet Earth. And please stay with us for our next segment of this edition of our program today. Well, welcome back to our next segment of this edition of the Mike Kira radio program, What's Up America? As always, proudly broadcasting from Ocoee, Florida, USA, planet Earth. My guest today is Sean, Chef Sean Boucher, who is a great executive chef. He has a podcast called The Business Chef Podcast, as well as several great books, as well cookbooks, as well as a management book. And he is involved in just about every aspect there is of food service, whether it's food safety, the dietary end, especially consulting. There's a lot of consulting with restaurants. You know, if you've got a restaurant, he can go through the entire process with you, especially people like me that have no idea what we're doing, but somehow think we have the right to open up a restaurant. He can go step by step through that. And we're so blessed and honored that Chef Sean is here. Again, my guest is Chef Sean Boucher. And Sean, pleasure and honor you could join me today. Thanks so much. We truly do appreciate it. Okay, Chef Sean. So now I want to talk a little bit about, you know, you mentioned that, you know, as a consultant that you work with, you know, different clients, and we understand you're a, certified dietary manager. But one of the things, you know, as a consultant, your job basically is to say, okay, you know, pass the lard, pass the fat, fine. But if you're looking for something, you know, healthy, you kind of have to go with whatever the client wants then, huh?
Yeah, everything that we do is very collaborative, because at the end of the day, we get on an airplane and we really want to create systems, or we want to create concepts or things for our clients that are going to allow them to move into the future, that are going to help them get up and going, but then also allow them to take the next steps themselves to really get to where they want to be and doing what they want to do. Because they are going to be the ones that are in it for the long haul. So, you know, when it comes to, you know, creating different dishes, especially in healthcare, trying to mitigate some of the fat and the salt and the different things that you're trying to kind of work around, a lot of what we do is we integrate a lot of aromatics into what we cook, because 80% of what we taste is what we smell. And so we can actually improve flavor by increasing these aromatics, or these, you know, these flavor compounds or aroma compounds that really help the taste of the food without necessarily adding just a whole bunch of fat and salt and sugar and things of that nature.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I was thinking about that. Instead of the salt, so you use different spices and other ingredients that could almost act like a flavoring like salt then.
Yeah, we focus a lot, when it comes to salt, we focus a lot on the umami component, the savory kind of mouth feel that you get from certain foods such as mushrooms and whatnot. So we really try to focus on those types of things so that we don't have to add a lot of salt.
Oh, so I mean, in the hospital, you know, and, you know, as far as the desserts go, I mean, is there, you know, a certain, you know, ingredients that you use instead of, you know, chocolate or sweets or?
You know, a lot of it just comes down to whatever the dietary restrictions are. Obviously, with diabetics and you know, different levels of needs and care for them, you've got to be very cognizant of that. So yeah, we use a lot of things like honey and agave and things to sweeten that are naturally sweeter but also don't give you the spike in your glycemic index. And so there's a lot of different kind of things that we try to utilize there to help those patients.
And we mentioned, Sean, that, you know, you're a consultant for a lot of different clients. And I was wondering, you know, in your adventures, have you done anything with, like, amusement parks or anything?
You know, haven't done a lot with amusement parks. We had, we've had some people that are contractors within amusement parks, because a lot of times some of the amusement parks out there are actually kind of outsourcing some of their operations to some of the food contractors. And so we've worked in that regard. We've worked with a lot of different clients. I mean, over the years, what I started out doing and kind of what led into what I'm doing now was I started doing work for equipment manufacturers. So when someone would buy a piece of equipment, they would need somebody to basically come show them how to use it. And so I would show up and show them how to use it. We would brainstorm different ideas and come up with different concepts. And I really enjoyed that. And, you know, during my time doing that, I worked with concepts such as Red Mango and Kroger grocery stores, Starbucks. We had a really good run with a lot of fairly big name clients that I still kind of keep in touch with. But yeah, we've been able to work with some fairly big names over the years and really do some great work.
Oh, so yeah, it sounds like, yeah, a lot of great clients. I mean, do you do a lot of things around like the holidays or Christmas? I mean, do you do special like holiday theme campaigns or?
You know, most of the time the holidays we're very, very unique in the food service world, where the holidays are a little bit lighter for us simply because they're so busy for everyone else.
Right.
And so when it's so busy, it's hard to have someone like me come in and kind of help you do things, because you're just more or less in survival mode trying to just stay on top of things.
Oh, okay. So, you know, we mentioned that you were a certified dietary manager. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
So, the different certifications are basically different organizations also. So, the ACF, the American Culinary Federation, I'm a certified executive chef and a certified culinary educator. And those, for the ACF is kind of the standard in more of the hotel, restaurant, traditional food service world. The certified culinary professional is through the International Association of Culinary Professionals, and that's a designation that came about from a lot of cookbook authors have that. The certified dietary manager and the certified food protection professional is through the ANFP, the Association of Nutrition and Food Service Professionals, which I'm an active member of and do a lot with as far as speaking at conferences and writing articles. And those are mostly healthcare designations that if you want to run a food service establishment and maybe you're not a registered dietitian, the CDM or the Certified Dietary Manager is one of the credentials. It's actually kind of the credential if you're not an RD to be able to really satisfy the requirements that some of the state agencies have for credentialing of food service managers in healthcare settings.
Okay. So now, Chef Sean, I want to ask a question. This is kind of personal for me because I've been thinking about it. So someone like me that has no idea what they're doing wants to, you know, open a restaurant, wants to, you know, have all this fine dining. I mean, do you recommend them calling somebody like you and getting a consultant and going through the process together?
Absolutely. I mean, if you have no experience, it's one of those things I always tell people that you don't know what you don't know. And so a lot of times your frame of reference or your perception is going to be based on what you know. And what do you know? You know home cooking, and you know, if you go to a restaurant, kind of what they're doing. But you don't, there's a lot of in between. There's a lot of space between what the home cook does and what the professional kitchen does. There's a lot more regulatory requirements in the professional world. There's a lot more very specific product knowledge that goes into not only the product that you serve, but the equipment that you buy and the paper products that you source and the smallwares, the china, you know, all the things that go into it. There's a lot of details kind of integrated into each one of those decisions. And so if you don't have a lot of experience in that, you can absolutely gain it, but the time it will take you to do that is so much greater than maybe you have. Maybe you want to be open in a year. Well, it's going to take you probably that entire year just to learn a lot of the ins and outs of what you're going to need to do. That's where we come in. We kind of shorten that time curve because most of what we do is educating. Educating as to why certain products are sourced from certain places, educating as to why this piece of equipment is better than this, educating, you know, as to what government regulations and requirements you're going to need to jump through to really, really be able to make this successful. So, you know, with that said, that's kind of the advantage that you have in hiring a consultant. You pay more for it, but you pay for the ability to shorten your time in learning, but you also you're also able to avoid a lot of the pitfalls that will come from just not having the experience.
And Sean, I'm sure you've seen a lot of these, you know, restaurant rescue shows on TV. I mean, what's your thought on that? Is that basically how it works, or?
You know, it just, everything is very, very specific and unique to each individual client and each segment of the industry. Obviously, restaurants are going to have a set of challenges that are going to be different than healthcare. Healthcare is going to have a set of challenges that's going to be different from banquet facilities or large contract feeders. So it just really depends on where you're at, what part of the country are you in, what level of staff do you have to work with. You know, there's just a lot of very, very intricate things that really you kind of have to just get in and start digging on a one-on-one basis, case by case. Unfortunately, there's just not a one-size-fits-all. There's a lot of principles that are transferable between those different things, but you really have to get to know your clients and their situation individually to be able to offer any type of solution.
So part of what you do, Sean, well, for example, like I want to open a Bohemian or, you know, Czech restaurant right here in Central Florida in the Orlando area. So, I mean, in your particular case, you come out and you'd first find out if that's feasible, if it's going to make any money or...
Yeah, we want to make sure that you're successful because obviously for us to stay in business, our clients need to stay in business. Otherwise, we won't have any more business. We really want to make sure that it's a win-win situation for everyone. And so there are honestly probably 30% of projects that I'm approached with that are just from the get-go an absolute no, that it's just unfortunately not going to work. And you know, so we have to turn a lot of those opportunities down. But yes, to answer your question, we get in there, we have a lot of one-on-one discussions. We talk kind of it from a 30,000 foot view. What is it that you want to accomplish? What is it that you want it to look like? What, you know, where do you want it to be? And then we kind of work backwards from there, because once you have a vision of what you want, then it's easy to kind of build up to that. But there's a lot of things that people feel like they have a vision. They feel like they know exactly what they want. But then once we start talking, it becomes very apparent that they haven't thought through a lot of the things that they think they want. They say, well, I want a Bohemian restaurant right here. Okay, well, what is your definition of Bohemian? You know, what kind of food are you going to serve? Is that, you know, are the ingredients that you're going to need to get, is it feasible to be able to get them on a regular basis? You know, there's a lot of things that you really have to just start asking detail-wise that sometimes a lot of people will kind of, you know, raise their head and go, you know, I didn't really think about that. But all those things will contribute to the success of any restaurant. And so that's really where it starts is sitting down and talking about what the vision is and then crafting a plan to work backwards from that.
And Chef Sean, have you worked with any Bohemian or Czech restaurants? Or?
You know, I can't say that I have. I've definitely eaten the food, but I couldn't say that I've actually worked with anyone doing that.
Okay, Chef Sean, you know what? That sounds simply fantastic. What we are going to do is we are going to take a quick break, and we will be back for a very last segment of this edition of our program today. My guest today is Chef Sean Boucher, who is a great cookbook author, executive chef. He's a great restaurant consultant. He has his own podcast, the Business Chef Podcast, and I guess he just oozes food service. He is involved in every aspect there is of the food service industry. One neat thing that I think is great is he works with restaurants, but also hospitals, and actually does a room service similar to a hotel type of deal. So that's pretty neat. And, you know, he works in healthcare and, you know, so many different, you know, industries, facets, I should say, of food service. And the cookbooks are really, really good. We highly recommend the ones that he writes. And, you know, the bake book sounds really cool because a lot of times, you know, when you're looking for a dessert and you say, what should I bake here? I don't know. Just get the mix, get the box. And, you know, we're so blessed and honored that Chef Sean has all these ideas for us. Again, my guest is Chef Sean Boucher, and you are listening to the Mike Kara radio program, What's Up America? As always, proudly broadcasting from Ocoee, Florida, USA, planet Earth. And please stay with us for a very last segment of this edition of our program today.
Hey guys, it's Ben Gardner from OrlandoBands.com and the Local Music Guild, and we have a really terrific show coming up for you guys on Saturday, September 7th, and we're bringing back the Sanford Music Festival. It's going to include 5 stages with 30-plus bands playing, so an entire afternoon of really fantastic music. Plus, we've got vendors coming out of all different types, and also food trucks and all sorts of stuff, so come on out. Tickets are on sale right now. It's only $10 for the pre-sale tickets, so get them while are still available. You can go to www.sanfordmusicfest.com and check out all the details if you're interested in performing or vending. Right now we're fully booked with the performances, but we still have some vendor spots available, so check out the website for more details, and we'll see you guys there.
Well, welcome back to our very last segment of this edition of the Mike Kara radio program, What's Up America? As always, proudly broadcasting from Ocoee, Florida, USA, planet Earth. And my guest today is Chef Sean Boucher, who is a great restaurant consultant, executive chef, cookbook author, podcast host, the Business Chef Podcast. Definitely want to check that out. And Sean is, as you heard in the introduction of this show, he is a in every single facet of food service. So basically, whatever related to food service he does, he works with the food safety, he works with, you know, the dietary restrictions. So if you have a special diet, he's a restaurant consultant, so he goes from all the way to step A to step Z. You know, he'll tell you what equipment to, he basically, like I said, for people like me that have no idea what we're doing, you know, he will go, you know, and he will say, you got to order this, you've got to order that, here's, you know, who you should staff. You know, he helps with the staffing process. He's got many years of experience, so he could look at these resumes of these potential head chefs, these potential servers, and, you know, he could discern that, he could translate that information to you. So you know, we're so blessed and honored to have you know, I'm a big food guy, and I always like to talk to somebody that's involved in every end of the food industry. A chef also is involved in the healthcare part of it. I know when I was at a hospital that will remain nameless for legal reasons, there was a McDonald's right in the hospital, brother. And, you know, I bring that up because, you know, it's nice that somebody could come in and say, you've got special dietary needs. You know, let's not just have a McDonald's in the place. Let's see what other ingredients, what other spices, what other herbs, you know, what, you know, other alternatives we can have instead of just sticking a McDonald's in the hospital. Let's see what we can do. And, you know, bring, you know, he can consult you and he could say, these are the ingredients, and he could write the recipes. You know, he's a full stop shop. So as much, if you're just looking for a guy that says, you know, hey, give me a recipe or two, and you know, you've got ideas, but like I said, I don't know what I'm doing. And people like Sean, I don't know if that's a good thing, but you know, it gives us, you know, opportunity to pursue our dreams, and it gives us an opportunity to be right on track. So my guest today is Chef Sean Boucher. I want to thank Chef Sean, and I also, you know, for being here today. And I also want to thank each and every one of our radio listeners for being here today, sharing my passion for what my love and passion for what I do, which is bringing you Chef Sean's love and passion for what he does. And, you know, if you've got a guest idea, please let me know, and we'll see what we can do. Go to MikeCara.com, give me a call, send me an email, and, you know, we will definitely take it seriously. We'll try to get the guy on and see, or person, I should say. We will definitely do that. And, you know, if you'd like to become a Tweet Peep, you can. Please, be sure to go to twitter.com/MikeCara73. I'm going to spell it. Twitter, I don't need to spell. Twitter.com, you know that, /MikeCara73. And there you're going to find a plethora of information, including, that's right, behind-the-scenes looks of what's going on. So I'm going to say I've just interviewed Chef Sean, and I'm going to say I'm working on the show with Chef Sean Boucher, and then the show with Chef Sean Boucher is all done. We do everything through Anchor now, although if you go to the website, you can still get the traditional downloadable segments. So if you're looking more for the how we used to do it, you could go to the website. But if you go through Anchor, that I get 1 cent per show. So if you listen to this show through Anchor, I get a penny. So yeah, that's right, Gav. If you could just spare a penny, you know, don't have to do much if you go through Anchor. But however you get here, we do very much appreciate it. Again, my guest is Chef Sean Boucher, and Sean, is such a pleasure and honor you could join me today. Thanks so much. We truly do appreciate it, and we are truly blessed. Okay, Sean, so now I want to talk about this great podcast you have. It's called the Business Chef Podcast. Why don't you tell us about it?
So the Business Chef Podcast actually grew from a nonprofit that I had started a few years ago. The nonprofit was designed to really educate and help people in the food service business become successful. Obviously, my experience, I get to see a lot of the good and the bad. I get to see the pros and cons. I get to see the people who are making it and those who are falling flat on their face. I didn't want that for anybody. I've had my own place. I've been in charge of franchises. Like, I've been on both sides of the coin, so to speak, in operating a food service business. And one of the worst things that can happen is that business goes under. And so I really wanted to make sure that less businesses failed in that regard. And the two things that I see happening out there for when businesses fail, especially food service businesses, is you have these incredibly talented and passionate individuals who are chefs and food people who know food and make incredible food. They do really cutting edge things, and it's just awesome. The problem is they don't always know their business. So the accounting, the marketing, you know, that side of things that they're not quite as interested in, that generally falls by the wayside. And you can't sustain a business if you don't know the business. The other flip side of that is you have these business people that really know that stuff. They know they know how to get the message out there, and they can balance the books like nobody's business. But the problem is their food is not great, and they don't have that piece of it. So really, to make a successful business, you've got to be very passionate about what you do and have that kind of craft down where you have your skill set and your menus and things kind of honed in, but you also have to be able to make the money from it. So that was where the Business Chef podcast came from, was we take experts from all the different levels of the playing field and food service, from equipment manufacturers to accounting software to chefs that have made their own business and have done very well in it, to multi-unit operators, to just people starting out and kind of doing their own thing for the first time, and some of the lessons they've learned thus far. And so we try to get somebody across the gambit of things to really help people start a business or run a business a little bit better, give them options to know what's out there. But then we also try to bring it back to the individual and help them improve their careers, because all of us might not want to go out and start a restaurant or a food service concept, but everybody wants to improve their career in some way, shape, or form. And so we try to bring a lot of those principles together and talk about issues that are really affecting us as an industry. You know, staffing, food costs, things that are always going to be challenges. We really try to focus in on those and give people the tools they need to be successful in their business.
And getting back to your consulting, Sean, you know, you mentioned just a minute ago about equipment. So is that part of what you do when you come in, is to suggest what, tell these individuals what equipment they need, help them order it, you know, help them staff? I mean, is it a full service sort of thing?
Absolutely, yeah. Because most of the time what I've seen is I see it almost done backwards, where a kitchen designer or an architect or somebody will come in and say, here's the equipment that you should have, here's the space you have, here's the equipment that you have, when really it needs to be done the opposite way. You need to kind of have an idea of what you want to serve and how you want to serve it, and then you need to kind of tell them what equipment that you want, because those companies, whether it be designers or architects or contractors or whoever's involved with it, generally have relationships with equipment manufacturers and generally are part of buying groups. So they get better deals on things or better rebate dollars when they're able to put those pieces of equipment into projects. The problem is the operator may or may not need that stuff, and a lot of times they don't even want it. So they end up with all this extra equipment that they may or may not even use, depending on their menus. And so it really needs to be done opposite, where we as operators need to tell them what we want and then have them create that within the scope that we want.
Okay, Sean, and before we go, we want to talk definitely about, you know, your websites and all that. So can you tell us a little bit about your website?
Sure. So you can find out more about the podcast at businesschef.org. We've also got the book has a website and a small little podcast that goes along with it for the cookbooks. That's firsttimerscookbook.com. I'm also on all the different various forms of social media, Chef Sean Boucher on LinkedIn, at Chef Sean B on Twitter. I'm also on Instagram or Facebook at Make Food Make Money, and you can find me in all those different places.
Okay, and before we go, Sean, I wanted to make mention about the bake book, because I think that's really cool. So basically you have, you know, cakes and brownies. Is it pretty much every dessert, or how does that work?
Well, what we did is we really tried to break it down to, you know, certain principles. You go over the basics of cakes, of pies, of cookies, and their different forms, because brownies and blondies are actually a form of cookies. They're just a pan cookie, so to speak. So there's, you know, we try to cover those basics, the basics of bread making. So regardless of whether you're making white bread or wheat bread, focaccia versus, you know, like a loaf bread, like we try to go over a lot of those basics and try to give you ideas and help you understand the basic principles of gluten development and proofing and all the different things that go into that. Try to give you the basic ideas so that once you go and you make your favorite recipe, you kind of understand why you do certain things in there.
Oh, great. So, I mean, as far as the consulting, if somebody listening to this, you know, is interested in your services, I mean, do you do things via Skype or you travel all around the country or?
Absolutely. I have two clients right now that we use Zoom mostly to record different things that I'm doing for them. A lot of what one of them is a personal chef who's trying to get their business up and going in New York City, and we do a lot of communication via Zoom or Skype. Most of what I do is actually on site, so I'm on the road 200 plus days a year in various cities around the country and even around the world. We have potential opportunities right now in the European Germany area, just all over. So really it comes down to I only take on enough that we can handle it. I have a very small team. We're a very boutique shop, so we only take on a few customers at a time. But we try to again craft a plan that works for them. If they feel they just need the over the phone or Zoom or Skype kind of interaction, then we'll go that route. But most of them find they need kind of that on-site hand holding. So kind of a combination of all of it, just depending on what people's needs are.
Okay, Sean, we really do appreciate all your time. Any final thoughts or anything else you'd like to mention here?
No, I appreciate the opportunity to be on the show and talk about subjects that I'm incredibly passionate about and have made my life's work. So thank you for the opportunity. And for those listening, appreciate your time in listening to me ramble on. And if you're interested in finding out more, go check out our podcast and listen to me ramble on even more. Or you can download Food People Management on Audible and listen to me read my book.
Okay, my guest has been Chef Sean Boucher, and you've been listening to the Mike Carroll Radio program, What's Up America? And please catch us again next time.